At the meetings that have been going around, which I attended a few, all the people that were on the Te Aroha committee, they all stated that all they wanted was what's good for Rotorua. Well, that's what we all want. And surely that's what the council's here for. So why do they need more? They've got enough representation on the council as it is. You know? The other thing is, the council say that they can change this at any time. But once you start this, it'll be there for good. And it'll be incumbent on the next elected council. You won't be able to get rid of it. So I can't see where Meriden needs more power on the council. They're already represented. If they want more, get them elected. Unelected people on the council decision making is totally undemocratic. That's all I've got to say.
And very clear. So we can ask questions if anybody wishes to ask a question. Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Brian, for your submission. On our page 33, it said, is there another option arrangement? You said I would consider the modified model. Would you consider other models which came through, or do you just consider the modified model?
I would consider it a modified model.
The response was, for those that couldn't hear, he would consider a modified model. Thank you, Brian. Councillor Sturt, if you feel more comfortable, come back to your chair.
Thank you. Is it on? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brian. I take from your submission that you actually support the status quo, the current committee,
yes,
and make it more effective and make it work.
Yes.
Okay.
Submitter, but he's not here, Rick. Do we have anybody else there?
Have another little say.
I'll come and have another little say, because you didn't take your full 10 minutes there.
Well, with this, what they're trying to push through, I mean, if it goes ahead, you might as well call this Te Aroha and Lakes District Council.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you. Now, I did see Mr. Bateson before. Mr. Bateson, do you feel comfortable to give your submission now? Julie's doing it, but he's reading someone else's. Ah. So we've got to wait. So we have to wait. Is there anybody else? Paddy. Paddy, are you? Great. Thank you. So that's. Thank you, Paddy. We're being very flexible this morning.
Yep. Can you hear me?
If I just, because we've put you forward, it's page 42, Paddy's submission.
Right, start now.
Yep.
Good afternoon. I'm Anne Hodgkiss, known to most as Paddy, and I come from a background of science and market intelligence. And firstly, I'd like to thank Council McVicar for blowing the whistle on this proposal, because without it, I suspect the partnership would have been passed some time ago, having barely crossed people's radars. And as much as I know, we must acknowledge the past and need to improve our relationship with Te Aroha and other iwi, I cannot in any way support the TAP, the Te Aroha power grab, neither option 2 nor 3. The latter could easily morph into an option 2 within a matter of months, given some councillors' determination to meet Te Aroha's demands. I'm not anti-Te Aroha. I'm not anti-Māori. I'm not anti any other interest group. In fact, I welcome improved relationships and dialogue with all these groups that contribute so much to our diverse society. However, I am against the prospect of unelected appointees, with or without voting rights, sitting alongside democratically elected councillors. I voted for councillors, both Māori and non-Māori, trusting them to make decisions on my behalf for the common good. Elected councillors can be voted off council for poor performance. How can the public indicate no confidence in unelected people? They can't be voted off. I do not want the trust I put in elected councillors to be overruled by unelected appointees. Together, these appointees and Te Arawa-affiliated councils will acquire disproportionate power on council, and it's disturbing that one interest group could potentially have an inordinate amount of influence over the rest without a public mandate. That is undemocratic. That is the issue. It's not about race. It's about democracy, fairness and equality, or the lack of it, should this be passed. Now, as you all know, the Local Government Act of 2002 requires councils to maintain and improve opportunities for Māori to contribute to local government decision-making processes. Actually being part of the decision-making is not included. We have democratically elected councillors for that. The Act incorporates all Māoridom. The wisdom and advice of elders are acknowledged as invaluable, and we must use this knowledge for the benefit of all. Nowhere does it state a specific iwi should be given preferred status over another. Nowhere does it state that voting rights must be given. I believe that the Te Arawa Partnership proposal stretches the letter of the law to such an extent that it is illegal. It is extremely biased. It is divisive. And I'd ask you, councillors, what criteria must be met for other interest groups to be accorded the same degree of power that this plan proposes to give Te Arawa? In addition to the serious issue of this proposal's violation of our democratic rights, I'm hugely concerned about the cost, especially given this council's bad track record at managing a budget. In a successful business or in research, prior to approval, any new project must have a transparent budget, salaries, overheads, travel, etc., available for scrutiny and assessment. Why have we not been given any cost breakdown? Just a repeated vague estimate of $250,000. This is a gross underestimation, I believe. Given the now defunct Te Arawa Standing Committee of six cost $200,000, how can you possibly expect ratepayers to believe that a board of upwards of 12, plus the up to seven nominees sitting alongside councillors, and then the inevitable admin personnel and overheads can be bought for a mere $250,000? That is pure fantasy. I have a real fear that the cost to be borne by ratepayers isn't important to the new Te Arawa elite nor the councillors that favour the proposal. It's the power to be gained through it that is important. We as ratepayers should not be forced to carry the costs of a proposed parallel governance model. In fact, any parallel governance model, especially one which favours an elite few. Ratepayers are shareholders in this council, and rates should not be regarded as a bottomless pit to fund the demands of the select few backed by the Mayor and her followers. I'm also seriously concerned about the repercussions of the plan on future district hearing committee hearings. Decisions are going to be made by persons with a vested interest in the outcome. The risks, requirements, cost and complexity of going through the process cannot be underestimated. I believe that the fear of biased decisions and conflict of interest litigation will frighten off investment. Now, as an alternative to the Te Arawa Partnership, I'd like to suggest a democratic governance model, an alternative that includes both a Māori Policy Advisory Board and a Community Advisory Board with equal advisory powers. Both boards would comprise unsalaried volunteers, paid attendance fees and expenses. In the case of the Māori Board, representations and procedures would be determined by all Māoridom. Both boards would have the active support of a councillor and council administrator. At the request of council, expert advice, reports and commissioned research would be undertaken with costs covered. Individual groups should also be given the opportunity to lobby council on a voluntary basis. A democratic governance model alternative based around these principles would be unbiased, democratic, and benefit all groups in our diverse community equally. The cost would be infinitely less than the real cost of the Te Arawa Partnership. Partnership is a catchword of council. A democratic governance model would be an excellent example of a real partnership in action. In summary, I cannot trust the motives of this proposed plan, nor will I be able to trust those councillors who cannot see it for what it is. You, the councillors, must soon make what is probably the most important decision in your local body political careers. This decision will affect the future prosperity of Rotorua and likely affect your prospects as councillors. By voting against the Te Arawa Partnership, you will be taking a step towards finding a more democratic resolution for engagement and partnership with all interest groups. You will be taking a positive step towards a prosperous future for Rotorua, in which investors need not fear the demands of a single interest group. By voting for the proposal, you will be party to a giant leap backwards to an uneasy and apprehensive future in which the sole beneficiary will be Te Arawa, not Rotorua as a whole. A future where the anticipated demands, costs and restrictions required by Te Arawa will stymie development and investor confidence, and where costly litigation will be inevitable. We should be encouraging investment by making things easier. And I'll finish with a quote from our mayor. She has stated in one of her missives, and I quote, "working together in genuine partnerships." And so note the plural word partnerships. It seems to me that the only partnership of interest is with Te Arawa. A democratic governance model would offer multiple genuine partnerships. Thank you.
Any questions? There appear to be none. Thank you.
Yes. Copies?
Just pop them on the table, Patty, and staff will help circulate them around. You don't have to do that. Thank you.
Yep.
No. Still don't have Mr. Tain, but I did notice Mr. Shepherd has been. Yes, he's been. John Meditor. John, are you able to come to the table? Yes, Julie's here. Yes. John, you're welcome. Come to the table and we'll sort out Julie or her. So for those at the table, this is page 37.
Mayor, can I just introduce Roy Mutter, one of your staff from the front office, who's going to sign for me in the event that there was someone who was hearing impaired.
John? We didn't know she had that talent. There you go.
Yeah. And I'm sure HR will give her a proper qualification so she can do it formally all the time. But Roy Mutter signs because her both parents are hearing impaired.
Would you like to come up the front? Roy Mutter's going to sign for those of you who are hearing impaired. Thank you, Roy Mutter. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, councillors. It's a privilege to be here, living here in a beautiful city with councillors who were duly elected, and to be given the opportunity to speak to the proposal. I stand in support of the proposal for Te Arawa with some very fundamental and basic principles, really. And to put it in context, my great-grandfather was part of the negotiating for the Lakes, and he negotiated with Fred Earl from the government, and Sir Apira Nangata was there in the middle. And from that point in time, our family have always been aware that we are talking a partnership. We are talking a proper, meaningful way of moving forward together. And I would argue that the tools have already been put in place from our forefathers that created all those relationships that were absolutely fundamental at the beginning of the city. And so we come together. We have the opportunity as a council to take the next step. And for those of us, and I come here today as a father of eight, a grandfather of eight, a great-grandfather of one, and a mokopuna who's representing the rugby in Brisbane today, really proud that our kids have been brought up here in Rotorua. Really, really proud. And the thing is that my children, who there are two social workers and there's a teacher at Rotorua Intermediate teaching accelerant, they're working for the benefit of the whole city. They're not just in a pro Māori. They work with all our children. And sitting here today as a grandfather, it's really critical that that we look at this in context and look at the ways and benefits of moving forward, because Te Arawa has a lot to offer. And if we stay in the mode that we are, it will be another ongoing awkward relationship. So I congratulate you for taking the initiative to actually at very least look at ways that a partnership can work together. And once again, I just state that we have some new tools to develop, I think. We have some new thinking that needs to develop. And there are places that we haven't gone as a community where we could really join together. And that's the big challenge. It's going to be difficult. But for many of us who have gone off to university and done all that stuff, we come back here and we really want to participate in a community that truly understands what Rotorua is all about. When most people drive down the streets and they go through Erawera Street and Pukuatua, they have no idea of the rich context of history that we have and the contribution that these forefathers of ours made to us. And the previous speaker I heard talked about the city that we have. The city that we have has been developed to this point has been done on the backs of a whole lot of labourers in the forestry and a whole lot of other people before me that have brought us to this point. So our decision now is, what do we do for the future? How do we develop a way forward? And it's not going to be easy. And for those councillors around you, all I can say as a person that brought my kids up at Westbrook and then moved back to the Marae, this is going to be a challenge. And for elected people that maybe you might think your context is those people that in a suburb that voted for you, well, some of us voted for you too. Some of us have shared your lives. Some of us get cobblestones from Peter and things like that. We're invested in this community wholeheartedly. And so I hope that when you make your decision, that you make your decision with John and his grandchildren in mind as well. Because we do want to move forward. We all want to be in a place where there's no longer this awkwardness. Because there is a sense of two communities. There is a sense, but you've got a willing partner on one end who's actually trying to reach out our hand and say, let's get together. And so if you look at our whakatauki, it actually underpins a lot of the kōrero. Tātou, tātou means us and us. If it was one tātou, it would just be us. But it means all of us. And so there's an implied challenge on us to be, how do we develop all parts of our community and come together? And for those, you know, that are on, I'm on a marae committee, some of my aunties are here. We've been there 15 years working with council, paying rates and all of those things. But in some ways we've been a little bit silent at these tables. And we would like consideration that our infrastructure could be worked in and gently worked together. Because the only voice that we've had has been Māori Ora. And the councillors who are party to our communities, who come out to our communities. So this, I'm strongly in belief that we need to look at all the aspects of this, and there are risks. It would be naive as a person, as a ratepayer, to say that there are short of risk, but they're going to be worth it. If you looked at our grandfather, when he negotiated great-grandfather with the Crown, the Lakespeare ownership, there was no legislation to guide them. They were operating absolutely on goodwill, which would bring people together and provide a platform for us to be sitting here today, 100 years later, talking about the next step. And I want to be able to tell my children and my grandchildren that I was here, that I was part of this process. So congratulations, Council. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. And you'll be, I'm sure you'll get lobbied every day. But there are quiet people like me and my family who absolutely believe the way forward is for us to be in partnership on you know, on the same waka, paddling together. Because I can't say that we are.
Questions? Councillor Sturt and then Councillor Gould.
Thank you for your submission. In some of the submissions we've had in front of us, there have been claims that Te Arawa is power hungry and that they will be disproportionately represented with a board and then having two votes on the standing committee. Do you recall that this current situation occurs on the District Health Board here in Rotorua? And I'd like you to respond to that. The claim that Te Arawa is power hungry.
You know, the leaders that I engage with have always been have had an integrated approach. Whether it's myself working with youth on a daily basis, we're integrated and collaborative. And so, my being a former fisheries manager and working in structures, there has always been a willingness to collaborate. It hasn't really been my perspective of wanting power. I think it's nice to focus on sharing, and I think sharing. But if you're not at the table, if you're the caterer, then you don't get to have the right say. I mean, there are some very knowledgeable and very articulate whānau that we have who can really contribute. They can contribute to your youth programs and to a whole lot of things. It's really about offering the contribution. And I see the council as having a kitty of a whole lot of skills. And I think some of the skills that Te Arawa could bring could actually enhance the kitty. They could put in their experiences and their knowledge of the whenua and their knowledge of how we did things previously and past. But, The Te Arawa focus for me has actually been quite loving, really, of the other members of our community. Has always been quite caring. If you look at the Hospital Hill contribution, that wasn't done just for Te Arawa. It was done so that everybody's child could have a facility. But I just come back to your decision, and I support the ability for Te Arawa to be sitting there in a sharing capacity. I don't see it as a threat, not at all.
And thank you for that. I kept the time. So I'm afraid our time is up, councillors who wish to ask a question. But thank you. Now, I think we have the same issue. I'm not sure if Julie's ready, but... Oh, great. Hi, Julie. Do you wish to come forward, Julie, with Mr. Bateson? So we're now looking at submission 102 on page 42. Julie, while you're getting seated, you're later in the afternoon. Is it easier for you to flow through afterwards, or do you want the gap, regroup and come back?
I'd be happy to flow through afterwards.
Great.
Thank you. I speak on behalf of Mr. Walter Bateson of 46 Blackmore Drive, Lynmore, Rotorua, and with regard to the proposed Te Arawa partnership. Mr. Bateson has dictated these words and asked me to deliver them on his behalf. He says, "I am grateful and thank Council for allowing me to speak on this important issue. And I say to you, never, never before in the history of New Zealand have so many citizens benefited so much from the efforts of so few. in an endeavour to retain democracy in New Zealand politics. The Pro-Democracy Society have so ably assisted us to decipher the tricky questions posed by our council so that we have been able to answer the dual meaning questions in a positive and meaningful way by our submissions. They have given us the information that our council should have given us but did not. I am fully against options 2 and 3 put forward by the council because these are completely undemocratic. It is wrong to offer voting seats on the elected council to non-elected pressure groups, for this would create a lopsided body, give rise to other bodies wishing for the same privilege, which it would be difficult to refuse due to a precedent having been set in district bylaws, and increase illegal costs to the ratepayers of Rotorua. The town is presently struggling to contain its expenditure due to the ineptitude of past and present councils and currently threatened with a grossly unfair hike in rates for the forthcoming year. Rents and rates in the CBD are presently at an unaffordable level for many retailers, please note growing out of town areas. And for this sole reason, we have an ever-increasing number of empty premises. This situation must be rectified if the town is not to be stifled and the exodus grow. You people have been elected to the Rotorua District Council, and let us call it by its proper name, by virtue of popular vote. You must serve the people of Rotorua in a proper and unselfish way, and which will allow the town to prosper and grow for the benefit of us all. Finally, let me remind you that many years ago, our forefathers brought forth to this wonderful new land of ours, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are equal. This equality was enshrined by Abraham Lincoln in his address to the people of Gettysburg on Thursday, November the 19th, 1863, when he said, "The Bible, our Bible, is for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people." Thank you.
Walter, do you want, Mr. Bateson, would you like to add anything?
I think probably you can hear me better without the microphone. I find it awfully difficult to hear through the microphone. Is that permissible?
Of course.
Are there any questions that you would care to ask of me, please? I can say this. We have such a wonderful land here in New Zealand. It's probably one, if not the best, one of the best in the world. There's a freedom here. It's a freedom of a lot of nations coming together and living together, working together, laughing and loving together. Let's keep that, please. It's so wonderful. Listen to us, please. Let's all be friends. But let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing for the citizens of Rotorua. Thank you.
Do you have time, Councillor Gould, for your question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Walter, for your submission. Appreciate that a lot. Is there any options other than... Are you in favour of any options outside what has been publicised already?
Very much so. You're asking for any suggestions I have. I think it's very... Can you hear me? I think it's very important for the council to keep in touch with all the people, not just one section of the people. We're all free men. We've got free speech. We can all voice our opinion. Let's keep it so. One man, one vote. Let's support the town we live in. Let's call it by its proper name. Let's not stick out our chests and say we live in the city of Rotorua. It isn't a city, it's a town, and we love it.
Perfect timing, Mr. Bateson. And a great message. He told me outside that he's 90, so he's got wisdom on his side. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Mr. Bateson. Julie, do you wish to stay there? Is that easier? I'm not sure how you want to manage this.
I'm quite happy to do that.
Great.
That's all right. It's good.
Thank you.
Good for you. It's good for me. Awesome.
Okay. So this is actually my submission, so I'm not speaking for anyone else this time. Your Worship and councillors, since this proposal was first out in the public arena, I've had the pleasure of listening to many more people from all walks of life than I ever did as a councillor. I can assure you that the overwhelming feeling of a great many of your ratepayers is one of utter dismay and disbelief. Over and over, I hear the question asked, why can't our councillors see the wrongness of this proposal when it's so obvious to us? Your ratepayers are angry. They've lost trust. This preferred option, this collaborative effort between council and Te Arawa, has caused an unprecedented rift in our community. And just like many thousands of your ratepayers, I also fail to understand how you could possibly not have seen this coming. You're going to be bombarded by legal opinions, and maybe they will hold some sway with you, but at the end of the day, you're answerable to your ratepayers and to them alone, so I sincerely hope that you listen to them. You're going to hear many people speak to you about democracy, and rightly so, but there are other issues with this proposal which make many people angry. To begin with, its very name starts to ring alarm bells, Te Arawa Partnership Proposal. The first question on your submission sheet was, do you support in principle the intention of effectively partnering with Te Arawa? And what sort of question was that? If you're talking about building a spa or a thermal power plant, then yes, if it's going to financially benefit the ratepayers, by all means crack on. There are very many ways in which this council can effectively partner with Te Arawa. But, councillors, we're talking about governance here. Your people firmly believe that you don't have the mandate, either legally or ethically, to partner with anyone when it comes to governance. That's your job. You're required under the Act to consult with Māori. The words consultation and partnership are not interchangeable by definition. Yet another concerning issue arises in the first line of the proposed TAPM, which says, Rotorua Lakes Council proposes to enable representatives nominated by Te Arawa to actively participate in council decision making. Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't you actually charged with actively engaging Māori in the decision making process? Again, decision-making, i.e. voting, and the decision-making process are not the same thing. This isn't being pedantic. Your ratepayers elected you to govern, to make decisions. They do not want to be governed by unelected people. They don't want to see unelected people, fellow citizens, elevated to positions of power over them, no matter what group they're from. They find this fundamentally offensive. There are also significant questions to be asked about the mechanisms in place to look after the interests of all Māori, not just Te Arawa. The Act doesn't mention tangata whenua, it talks about Māori. The TAPM briefly mentions that one day, maybe, a seat could be made available on their board for Matawaka. How very condescending, considering that the latest census cites that non-Te Arawa make up almost two-thirds of all Rotorua Māori. It seems to most that you, together with Te Arawa, came up with a model, then looked at the Act to see how you could make it fit. I believe that Section 81, subsections 1 and 2, tells you your obligations and how to give effect to that obligation in regard to consulting with Māori. To place unelected people on committees, for example, the Audit and Risk Committee, the assumption is that the committee is lacking in skills. In that case, accounting skills. What skills do Te Arawa representatives bring to your governance committees? Are they roading engineers? Are they sewerage experts? Are they planning consultants? I doubt it. They come with a Te Arawa point of view. But you already have that, don't you? I don't know where they are at the moment, but they aren't here listening. So what possible skills, attributes and knowledge, the three relevant considerations, are you so lacking in that you have to form and pay an entire board to fill apparent gaps in your committees? Simply doesn't make sense to your ratepayers. This issue has raised huge debate in our community, and sadly not all of it constructive debate. For those strongly opposed to this proposal, That opposition, based solely on the belief that it is undemocratic, there would appear to be absolutely no valid counter-arguments. The best that most public commentators can come up with is simply that Te Arawa should have voting rights on council because they are tangata whenua. But frankly, most people don't understand at all why they should have that entitlement. Furthermore, we see written by these same public commentators that those in opposition to the TAPN, namely myself, must be racist, a redneck, or anti-Maori. These comments are not only immensely insulting, but incredibly worrying. Have we become so PC in this community that if we dare to hold an opinion which happens to differ from the opinion of Te Arawa, then we are racist? I struggle to understand a mind which rationalises that the defence of the democracy is somehow an act of racism. I'm here today not only to state my case, but also to ask that when you make your decision, to please consider the effect that has caused in your community, an effect which could easily grow out of hand. Please come up with a solution which can bring people back to working together and not pull them further apart. Frankly, you've caused quite a mess out there. It's now time to start cleaning it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. I would like to comment that those missing from the meeting are missing for very legitimate reasons. Yes. And many of us have to come and go. There's 5 days of hearing.
Fair enough. Fair yeah. comment.
Councillor Stewart.
Submission, Mrs. Kilnan. Are you aware that there are health organisations under Tūwharetoa and Te Arawa who have representatives on the DHB committees with full voting rights, are paid fees and mileage? Has that caused a power shift or a power grab situation on the District Health Board, and has it caused problems for the District Health Board?
Councillor Stewart, of course I'm totally aware that there are appointed members on the DHB board who have been appointed by the Minister. The District Health Board, although from the outside may resemble the Rotorua District Council, but in actual fact they have very few similarities. The District Health Board is one business. Its main focus is to reduce the effects of ill health in our community. It just so happens that the people with the most ill health in our community happen to be Māori. So the Minister feels that it's extremely relevant to appoint Māori representatives on the board that runs this business. If you think you can trick people into thinking that the DHB and the RDC have similarities in this area and therefore we should see it as a precedent, I'm afraid you're wrong. Thank you.
Councillor Maxwell.
Kia ora, Julie.
Thank you.
Just reading your submission there, and just want to touch on, because you've really emphasised unelected and all that, and you said the notion that the Audit and Risk Committee and the Tourism Committee, you said you found that ridiculous, and yet that's exactly what you're...
No.
...and you're aware of.
I'm afraid that my written submission was rather brief and lacking due to time restraints. What I meant, and I actually haven't still got the written submission, was that the Audit and Risk Committee and the Tourism Committee in no way, in my opinion, have the same standing within this council as your two main governance committees. And I don't remember their names, I'm sorry, because they're not the same names as they were when I was on council. But they are committees. For instance, the Audit and Risk Committee definitely has an appointed person. I mean, he's an accountant. He's there not representing accountants. He's there to give advice on accounting. The Tourism Committee was made up of tourist operators. And yes, it was an unelected, but absolutely... Look, I'm sorry, but I cannot agree with you if you think that the standing of the Tourism Committee and your two main committees have the same level of power in this council. Thank you. You're welcome.
We don't have time for any more questions.
Right.
I'm sure many would love to ask questions, but sure. We have to stick to time.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And now we have Ursula Bamford. And Reynold, you're going to speak on behalf of Ursula.
So this is submission 147 on page 46.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Rotorua Town Council and councillors. I speak here on behalf of Mrs. Ursula Bamford of Flat 4102E Old Quarry Road. Now, Mrs. Bamford has dictated these words and asked me to deliver them on her behalf. She says, quote, and with regard to the proposed Te Aroa Partnership proposal, that I'm fully against options 2 and 3 put forward by the council because they are completely undemocratic. It's wrong to offer seats on elected council to non-elected pressure groups, for this would create a lopsided body, give rise to other bodies wishing for the same privilege, which it would be difficult to refuse due to a precedent having been set in the town bylaws, and increase illegal costs to the ratepayers of Rotorua. The town is presently struggling to contain its expenditure due to the ineptitude of past and present councils, and currently threatened with a grossly unfair hike in rates for the forthcoming year. Rents and rates in the CBD are presently at an unaffordable level for many retailers. Please note the growing out-of-town areas, and for the sole reason we have an increasing number of empty premises. This situation must be rectified if the town is not to be stifled and the exodus grow. You people have been elected by the town council, elected to the town council, and let us call it by its proper name, by virtue of popular vote. You must serve the people of Rotorua in a proper and unselfish way, which will allow the town to prosper and grow for the benefit of all of us. Finally, let me remind you that many years ago our forefathers brought forth to this wonderful new land of ours, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are equal. This equality was enshrined by Abraham Lincoln in his address to the people of Gettysburg on Thursday, November 19th, 1863, when he said, "The Bible, our Bible, is for the government of the people, for the people, by the people." Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Difficult to ask questions. Are you able to answer questions, Ursula?
Really prefer not to.
I prefer not to, certainly. Thank you for your submission. Thank you, Renee,
thank
for
you
reading
very
it.
Much. Thank you very much.
Please
help. Thank you.
Now we move on. Mr. Wellington, thank you. You're all right? You've collected your thoughts? We're running a little bit ahead of time. A couple of submitters haven't arrived. So we're moving to Mr. Wellington's submission 123 on page 44.
Good afternoon, Your Worship and District Councillors. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to present my submission. I dare say you've heard many on the same theme since hearing commenced this morning, and you'll hear more this afternoon, tomorrow, Monday and possibly Tuesday. The theme is democracy, which you as Mayor and Council seem to have forgotten about. I would recommend that you take special notice of the submissions by such prominent residents as Roger Brewster and Luke Martin, for instance. Can I take you back, Your Worship, to last Saturday, Anzac Day, when you hosted the Civic Service in the Rotorua Energy Events Centre and had an laid a wreath on behalf of all the citizens of Rotorua, in memory of those who had given their lives for us and for our democratic way of life. Can I also remind you that later on that morning, in the lounge of the Rotorua RSA, when a cake was raffled, you placed a bid which was not bettered until the Honourable Todd McClay approached you and made a truly democratic offer. He would equal your bet and you would share the cake. True democracy between two dynamically opposed factions. And still possible here in this city. I too laid a wreath that day on behalf of the Air Force Association, honouring all of the airmen who gave their lives. Every morning when I opened my bedroom blind, I looked down on my neighbour, Wiktoria Danzy, because I'm reminded of January the 4th, 1945, when her brother, who was a Corsair pilot in my squadron, laid down his life, as so many other young men did. On that day, I did not dream that 70 years later, and after my 90th birthday, I would still be fighting for democracy in what was Flight Sergeant Pilot Jim Danzy's hometown. It is evident that the controversy which has led to the division with not only council, but right throughout the ratepayers of this district, lies solely with the ineffectiveness of the Te Arawa Standing Committee, with its present members, and the consequent inattention of council to any problems that may have arisen. Their photograph under the heading of Te Arawa Speaks Out, as printed in the Rotorua Post, doesn't inspire me to have any faith in their ability to speak on behalf of such an auspicious body of iwi. In May 2013, when the council was defeated in an appeal action,